Good evening. Happy Sabbath. I am reading scripture, Matthew 6 through 19, 13. Matthew 6 through 19, 13. Pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name. The kingdom come, the will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Have you ever heard the phrase or said the phrase, "I'll pray for you"? It's a great line. It's a great thing to say. But how many of us actually do it? I don't want to see hands. If we're willing to say, "I'll pray for you," why don't we just do it then? Prayer is our connection with God. And if something's worth praying for, we need to do it right away. That being said, let's pray before we get into the sermon. Father, I thank you for bringing each of us to church this morning, for sending the Holy Spirit, preparing our hearts. Father, I ask that you calm my nerves this morning. And let only your words leave my mouth. Thank you. Amen. Why is it that we neglect prayer? Is it that, well, I'm just too busy? Or maybe, well, God already knows everything anyway. Or, I'm not sure what to say. Or maybe, well, I just don't feel worthy to pray. Are any of these good excuses? In fact, every one of them says nothing about God. They all speak to our inadequacies, how we feel about ourselves. God has told us that we are His children. We have no excuse. He's asked us, He tells us we should pray. We should pray. Or maybe you're at the point where you go, "Well, I pray all the time, but nothing happens." Well, why is that? Is it maybe because you've got a sin in your life that you're not laying before the Lord? Is it because, like Alan just said, we don't have enough faith? I was getting there. Or is it that what we're praying for is not what God wants? little book by Ellen White called Steps to Christ. Page 95. There's a quote I want to read to you. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we cling to any known sin, the Lord won't hear us. So if there's a sin that we may be clinging to, God won't hear us. So that leaves us to what do we do about it? Well, if there's a sin, we must confess it. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us our sins. So if that may be what's going on in your life, you've got a sin, without confessing it, prayer will be worthless. Just an exercise in futility. I'm coming back to the faith that Alan jumped the gun on with for me. But is it that we don't take God at His word? You know, we God has said He's going to take care of our needs. But you're praying that, God, I please take this, you know, do whatever. But you just keep praying it. And you don't believe He's actually going to do it. Maybe you're at the point where I've prayed, nothing ever happens. And I don't know what to say, and I don't feel worthy. Why should I even pray? Why do we pray? Again, in Steps to Christ, page 93. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Here's the key. Prayer does not bring God down to us. It brings us up to God. Why not pray? We're told in that same chapter, the angels wonder at us that we don't pray. Jesus, who lived a perfect life and was divine, spent hours in prayer, and we don't have His benefits of being divine, yet we don't spend enough time in prayer. And like I just said, Jesus is our example. We should be following His example. In fact, He was so regular with His prayer that Judas knew where to find Him. He knew that He was going to be in Gethsemane, because when He was in Jerusalem, He went there to pray. We see have another example in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 46, where Jesus departed from the multitude, departed to the mountain to pray after He dismissed the multitude and the disciples were in the boat. He went to the mountain by Himself to pray. So if we should pray, which we should pray. How should we pray? Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 6. There's some guidelines there for us. My pages are sticking together this morning. Matthew, chapter 6. Verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward openly. So, I pray in my room. That's where I should pray. But wait a second. We pray in church. We pray in front of other people. Same book, Steps to Christ here. This is my copy, one of my copies. Page 99. And this one, as I was re-looking over things this morning, hit me after, so it didn't make it printed in my notes. There is no time or place which is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. There is nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of earnest prayer. In the crowds of the street, in the midst of a business engagement, we may send up a petition to God and plead for divine guidance, as did Nehemiah when he made his request before King Artaxerxes. A closet of communion may be found wherever we are. We should have the door of our heart open continually, and our invitation going up to Jesus may come and abide as a heavenly guest in the soul. We should never cease praying. More about how we should pray. Verse 7, of chapter 6 of Matthew. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. So how should we pray? Should we pray the same thing every time? Or should we talk to God? Like I'm talking to you now, as a friend. Just tell him what's on your mind. It's a conversation. Many times, especially when we might repeat a prayer, something we've said before, we go, and there it is, and we walk away, and we're done. We're not taking the time to let God talk back to us. We pray because it brings us closer to God. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, that doesn't mean, like I just said, that we need to pray these words that we could all recite in three seconds, probably. Just and be done. Doing that doesn't mean anything. Let me say this, though. If we were to use the scripture that is written as part of our prayer, we can't go wrong there. But if this is all we were to pray and just repeat it over and over, it would be more words. But using scripture is never wrong in prayer. Our Father. What does that mean? Our Father. We're addressing God. We're putting ourselves under Him with that statement. We're recognizing that He, like the head of a household, is the leader. In heaven. He's in heaven. That's where He is. That's where His kingdom sits. Our Father in heaven. hallowed be your name. As I was translating this, hallowed also means to revere as holy. It just says that it, to me, it just speaks a little deeper. Hallowed. Ooh, what is that? But to revere as holy, to respect. But what are we respecting? Christ's name. Now, in the Bible times, they had so much respect for Christ's name, for the name of God, that they didn't even say it. They would use the word Adonai, which is Lord. And in fact, when it's written in Hebrew, it is only four letters. Unpointed, no vowels, it's just four letters. And it's always just the four letters. Now, we've added vowels to it over time, and we come up with Yahweh. But we don't know if that's right. We have YHWH. That's all we have in the Bible for God's name. They respected it. They revered it so much, they wouldn't even say it. And yet, us today, God, the word God rolls off of the tongue on so many people, from so many people, so often, it means nothing. When we're praying, we're revering God's name. And a name to you and me is just, you know, a tag. It's just, oh, that's Anthony, that's Alan, that's Al, you know. That's just, yeah, it's who you are, but who God is to be revered, to be honored. Your kingdom come. So what are we praying here? We're saying, okay, your kingdom come. What does that mean? That means we want what God has, what is in heaven, the peace, the togetherness. We want it here on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Or be fulfilled rather than done. Done, yeah, we use that all. Be fulfilled. Your will be fulfilled. What is God's will? Do we know? Not without communing with God. But we're praying that we want what He wants. What we want doesn't matter. And we want that will done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, in heaven, they live in peace because everybody follows the will of God. Not so here. We could look across the street. We could probably even look in the pews here and see people not following the will of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we see a shift in the passage. We've been talking about God and His, how awesome He is, and how we should revere His name. Here we shift. It shifts to our needs. Give us this day the needs for our life today. Whether that's bread, water, somebody to talk to, for whatever might be on our mind. But our needs for today, what we need to sustain us. And forgive us our debts. As I was looking at this in the original, the word forgive is a pretty decent translation. The word dismiss has a different ring to it. Dismiss our faults from us. You know, sins get rolled up real easy. Oh, that's those Ten Commandment things. But how often do we goof up and have a fault? It's less ambiguous a little bit. Dismiss our faults from us. As we dismiss our faults from others, from those who have committed them against us. Just write them off. It's not worth it. And do not lead us into temptation. Now, God doesn't lead us into temptation. James tells us that God doesn't sin, doesn't bring us what we can't handle. So he doesn't lead us into temptation, but we're praying that we're protected from the temptation. And deliver us from the evil one. Again, the word deliver is a good translation. Another possible word is rescue us. God, they're going to hit me. I know they're coming. Rescue me when they get here. For yours is the kingdom. Again, we're praying God's kingdom, what he wants, his will on our lives. And you know, as we are praying that, and if his kingdom is here, if is what we want, ours, what we want, has no part in it. If we're praying what we want, we're praying our kingdom. I heard an illustration on this week. I flipped on the radio and heard this illustration, and of course he didn't know that I was thinking about preaching this already. It was a God thing. During the Olympics, let's say we're having a foot race. It's the 100-meter dash. Everybody lines up and they run, and somebody wins. And there's first, second, and third place given, gold, silver, bronze, and they get up there, and they're on the platform, and medals are handed out. Do they ask the gold medal winner, what's your favorite song? What music is played? It's the national anthem of his country. When we are living for God and want his will done, His music is going to be playing through us. Not what we want. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger forever. Amen. So that's how Christ says we should pray. And it is a great model. And again, we don't just pray the words, because words mean nothing over time. We pray the meaning. To take it a little bit deeper, when I was in academy, I went to a prayer conference. And at this prayer conference, they taught us a model for prayer. And it goes with the acronym ACTS. ACTS. A-C-T-S. When you start praying, and as you look at our passage here, we start with adoration. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. You're adoring God. You're giving Him praise. You move from adoration into confession. A-C, confession. You confess your sins. Because again, as we learned earlier, without confessing our sins, God doesn't hear us. So we confess our sins. And again, we have it in the prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it moves to thanksgiving. A-C-T. Thanksgiving. We're thanking God. And here we deviate a little bit from the prayer in the Bible. But we move to thanksgiving. Again, thanking God for what He has given us. What He will give us. I guess, you know, I said we deviated, but there it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, we're asking, but we're also thanking Him for already doing it. And the part, we then finish it up with S, which stands for supplication. And this part is not in the text. But this is the part where you actually listen. This is the part where you're letting God talk to you. You commune with Him. You know, in the book of Acts, in the beginning of Acts, we have the story of Pentecost. And during Pentecost, what were they doing when they received the Holy Spirit? What were the disciples doing? They were praying. Acts, let's look at the book of Acts. Let's read a couple of those verses real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Verse 13 names the disciples. And then it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. And then Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all together. They were still in one accord praying. And what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. when churches or groups of people come together to pray together, things happen. Our church has got some upcoming events. An evangelistic series scheduled for 2 months away. You may be praying for it individually, but are we collectively praying together? I know there are meetings that happen. I know there's one at the La Follettes. I know Frida's got a meeting once a week. Are we praying for our church, for the leadership of our church, for the upcoming meetings? I've got a burden that we do so as a group. And to this, with that in mind, I plan on being here at the church Wednesday evening. And this week I'll be here at 6:30. I'll be here for an hour. I'm going to be praying. If I'm by myself, that's fine. I would love company so that we can pray together. 6:30 to 7:30. And if we get people and we need to adjust the time, we can do that. But this week, I'll be here from 6:30 to 7:30, Wednesday. And it is my burden that we come together as a church and pray. Please come and join me. Let's bow our heads now. Father, we've just studied the prayer that you told the disciples to pray. And we are disciples now. Father, you know the burdens that we have. You know what's on our hearts. You also know whether it's in your will or not. Please, Father, if what's in our hearts is not with what is not what's in your will, change our hearts. Father, I ask that you be with us now as we separate. Keep us close to you. Keep us communicating with you. Because only by communication do we ever really get to know you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.